In Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Naso, we read about the mitzvah of Shivach Tamei in Min HaMachanem, that a person who's Tamei to a certain degree is not permitted to enter various machnas. So the word machana appears three times. The word machna appears three times. So the Gemara, and then the Chumash mentions three different types of tmeim. Called Zeruah v'chalzal v'chatomei lo nafesh, three different tmeim. So the Gemara Psochim puts together the psukim as follows, that there are three machnas. There's the machna shechina. In the midbar, the machna shechina was the azara. Then you have the machna leviyah, the leviyim v'chonim saviv Lemishkan, so that's Machna Leviyah. And then the third Machna was Machna Yisrael, where all of the Yud Beishvatim were surrounding the Levim, who in turn were surrounding the Azara. In the later generations, the Levim don't necessarily live around. They don't necessarily live around the Beis Hamikdash. The Levim lived in the Mem Beis Ori Halavim. There were Ori Halavim in Eretz Yisrael. There were 42 Ori Halavim together with the 6 Ori Miklot, so the 48 Ori Halavim. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Tanoim, that this division of the three different Machnas was retained, that you had all of Yerushalayim has the status of Machna Yisrael, and all of the Harabayis has the status of Machna Leviyah, and the Azara has the status of Machna Shechina. And the Psukim say that there are three types of Tameim. So a Tomei Meis is the lightest level of Tumah. Tomei Meis is a Tumas Mago. I came in contact with something else that's Tomei. As opposed to a Tumah Hayotza Olamigufa, a Tumah that developed in my body. For example, Zabzava, Lidi Oledis, and Mitzora. So those people have something developed in their body that made them Tomei. It's not that the Tumah was they received the Tumah Mibachutz. So in the Azara, that's the Makam Hachim Kudosh, so no Tumah is permitted to enter, even a Tumah Meis. In the Harabayis, that parallel to the Machna Leviyah, so only one who has a higher level of Tumah, only a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufay, is not permitted to enter. And in all of Yerushalayim, we don't permit a Metzora to enter. The Metzora is considered the highest level of Tumah, the most Talmudic type of Tumah. Min HaTorah, the whole Harabayis has one level of Kedusha. The entire Harabayis from the beginning to the end has a level of Kedusha of Machna Leviyah, parallel to Machna Leviyah. In the Rabbanan, we have a Mishnah, we have a lot of Mishnahs about this, but you have one Mishnah specifically in the first Perek in Kalim, where the Mishnah lists off Esa Kedushas Hain, the 10 levels of in Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. Ayaris HaMakov, Eschem, and Moshe Bishur Benun have a slightly higher level of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. Then the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, has a higher level. And it keeps on going further and further. So the Mishnah describes that in the Harabais, Min HaTorah, the whole Harabais has one level of Kedusha. In the Rabbanon, we divide the Harabais into three parts. When you first enter into the Harabais, so that only has the level of Kedusha with no Chumras added mid Rabbanon, that only one who has a Tumah Hayotza Ola Migufoy is not permitted to enter. That means the Zab Zab and Nidiyo Ledis and Mitzor. Those five people are not allowed to enter the Harabais. After a few Amos, you have the Chil. The Chil, there was a wall that was mafzik in between. And the Chil, Midrabanan, has a slightly higher level of Kedusha. It never says explicitly in the sources, in the Mishnayis, how much space was there from the beginning of the Harabayis. The Kaisel HaMarav is assumed to be the Kaisel of the Harabayis. So it never says explicitly in the Mishnayis how many Amos were there. There must have been a few. How many Amos were there from the beginning of the Harabayis till the Chil? After you enter into the Chil, so the Mishnah has a Chumrah Midrabanan that non-Jews are not permitted to enter, and one who's a Tomei Meis is not permitted to enter. Where is the source of such a din? They still have the plaque in the Beis HaMikdash. When you go visit now, so they have the plaque that's written in Roman, that a non-Jew who enters this part of the Beis, non-Jew is not allowed to enter from here on, and if he enters in, they're going to put him to death. So I remember when I was a student here in college, one of the students asked the professor, we studied Jewish history, he asked the professor, why did they make up such a Chumrah Midrabanan? A non-Jew is put to death if he enters into the Har HaBayis past the location of the Chil. So the professor said, in his ignorance, he didn't know Chumash, so he said, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, v'hazar ha-korev yumas. If a non-Jew enters the Beis HaMikdash, you put him to death. So there are only three mistakes there. The word zar does mean a non-Jew, it means a non-Kohen. Ha-korev means if he's makir karbonis. If a non-Kohen is makir karbonis. And yumas does mean it's put to death, it means bisa v'dei shamayim. Only three mistakes, only three words in the whole pasuk. The professor made three mistakes. So it's a deep, dark secret. It's a mystery. Why did the rabbis introduce such a chumer mid the rabbanon that they didn't permit non-Jews? Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, invites all the non-Jews to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone should come and pray. Not to pray to their Avodah Zarah, to pray to the God of the Jewish people, to God of the whole wide world. So that's a puzzle. That's a mystery. Why? But that was the did, and they still have the plaque that passed the line of the chil. But there was a wall separating. From that point in, mid the Rabbanon, we declared that part of the Har HaBayis, that section, has a higher level of Kedusha. Non-Jews are not permitted to enter. And Tamei Mesim are not permitted to enter. Then as you go further in, then you start the section of the Har HaBayis that's known as the Ezras Noshim. So again, Min HaTorah, Ezras Noshim has the same status as the rest of the Har HaBayis. Mid the Rabbanon, it's more chomer than even from the Chil. Why? A Tful Yom is not permitted to enter. Tful Yom means a person who is Tomei, who went to Mikveh, and he didn't yet experience Harav Shemesh. It's not yet Seisak Kechavim following the time that he went to Mikveh. Even if he waited 10 years, he could have gone to Mikveh 10 years ago. He had many Shkiyas. The Din requires he has to wait. The Tful Yom has to wait till Harav Shemesh following the day that he goes to Mikveh. There was a rabbi 80 years ago who published a Sefer who thought of a big Chiddush, that if you have the Harav Shemesh preceding the mikveh, it's also good. So Rabbi Zevin, Zecharon Levracha, used to publish book reviews in HaTzofeh, in the Mizrahi newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. So not all of his book reviews were favorable. Sometimes he would write that the person made 100 mistakes. So one of the Svarim that he reviewed, and all of his book reviews are published. There's a collection of three volumes that are called Sofrim Usfarim. Rav Zevin wrote many svarim that were reprinted. He wrote La'or Halacha, Mo'adim Halacha, Nishim Mishitos, and his Droshes, his Machshove. And these three volumes are never reprinted because in a lot of these book reviews, he rips the guy to pot. He rips him to pieces. He shows that the person made mistakes. So that's clear from the Mishnah, is that when a person goes to mikveh and then he's tohor, he's permitted to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. A Tomei is not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni until he goes to the mikveh. Once he goes to the mikveh, he's permitted to eat Ma'aseh Sheni, but he's still not permitted to eat Truma until he experiences Harav Shemesh, until he experiences Seisak Kechavim following going to mikveh. And then, if he's one of those people who has to bring a korban, a Zav Zavi, a Lettuce, a Mitzorah, those four people are called Mechusri Kapara, Adam Tomei, who went to mikveh, and still he's not finished. He still didn't remove all the Tumah because he's still Mechusa bringing the korban, so the Mechusri Kippurim is not permitted to eat karbonos, he's not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So mid the Rabbanon, min HaTorah, one who's a Tvul Yom is permitted to enter Har HaBayis. He's just not allowed to enter the Azara. So mid the Rabbanon, they introduce a Chumra, that's in the first parak of Mishnah Iskelim, that a Tvul Yom is not permitted to enter that part of the Har HaBayis that's known as Ezras Noshim. Just parenthetically, why did when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, and they set up the whole system, why did they decide not to be Mekadosh to Ezras Noshim? Ezras Noshim only has Kedushas Har HaBayis. Where the men stood, there was a separate section for the men, separate section for the women. So the section where the men were was called the Azara. They had a Kedushas Azara. You can check Korbanos there. And where the women were, was Ezras Noshim did not have Kedushas Azara, only had Kedushas Har HaBayis. So Rashi writes in a few places in his commentary on the Gemara, the rabbis did it on purpose in order to give the women a break. The halacha says you're not permitted to sit in the azara. Ein yeshiva ba'azara unless you are a melech from the Malchit Beis David. The Beis Sheni, they were not melech from the Malchit Beis David. So no one was allowed to sit in the azara. And the women, a lot of times the woman is pregnant, the woman is nursing, the woman is an old lady, so they want to give the women a break. So the rabbis didn't want to distinguish that some women will sit in this section and the other women will stand in the other section. So they made the whole Ezras Noshim only has Kedushas Har HaBayis, doesn't have Kedushas HaZorah. So all the women are allowed to sit. That's how Rashi comments in his commentary on the Gemara, that the Tanoim, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who set up the Beis Sheni like that, did it on purpose. They didn't want to give the women a hard time. They wanted to make it easier for the women. They should be able to sit. Fine. So we have the dinim d'araisa, the shiluch tmei min ha-machna. You have the Azara, the Harabayas, and Yerushalayim, Machna Shechina, Machna Leviya, Machna Yisrael. And then within the Harabayas, you have the three sections. The first section, up until the Chil, where you just have the din d'araisa with no chumris min d'rabban. One who has a tum ha-yotza l'migufoy is not allowed to enter there. Then starting from the Chil, you have the chumr min d'rabban on the goyim, and the tomei meis is not allowed to enter. And then you have deeper into the section of the Harabayas, the Ezros Nashim, that we have an additional chumra that a tvoyom is not permitted to enter. Do any of these laws still apply bizman hazeh? The Beis HaMikdash is in a state of churban. Maybe we should assume that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the whole Kedusha evaporated and vanished into thin air. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara in many different places. Do we assume the Kedusha HaMikdash is kitchel asi lavoi? Or should we assume it's only kitchel ashaita, but not kitchel asi lavoi? Only because none the structure is there. After the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's no longer any Kiddush. The Gemara has such a dispute regarding Kedushas HaAretz. Maybe the Kedushas HaAretz Yisrael, with respect to the obligation to be Mafresh Trumas HaMaisis, is only called Zman that it's under Jewish control. And maybe for all those years, until 1948, that it was under non-Jewish control, maybe the Kedusha disappeared. So we pass on the Halacha that Kedushas HaAretz, the Kedusha Rishayna, the Kedusha that Yehoshua ben Nun established in Eretz Yisrael. It took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. That says in Sefer Yoshua, there were Lamed Aleph Malachim. There were 11 kings. Had Eretz Yisrael so tiny. There were 31 kings. Had Eretz Yisrael is in between three continents. It connects Europe, Asia, and Africa. So it's a very crucial link. So there were 39 kings wanted all to have a share in Eretz Yisrael. So when Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, it's listed off in Sefer Yoshua. Who were the 31 kings? The Lamed Aleph Malach. It says explicitly in Sefer Yoshua, it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish army conquered Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara has an oral tradition that's not recorded in Tanakh. Just like it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, Sheva Shekopshu, so too it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. So Sheva Shekopshu and Sheva Shechilku. And Eretz Yisrael didn't have the Kedusha with respect to the obligation to be Mafish, Chumas HaMaisvus, Shemitah, Yovel, etc., until after the first 14 years. So the first Shemitah was observed in the 21st year, after they crossed over the Yarden, because the first 14 years there was no Kedusha Saharetz. It was a geographic location, Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't have Kedusha. And the first Yovel was the 64th year. Again, the first 14 years didn't count. And until year number 15, they weren't mafresh any trumas and maisis. The laws of Eretz Yisrael didn't apply. So the Gemara has a dispute that Kedushas HaAretz that was created by Yeshua ben Nun, did that last even after the destruction of the Medina, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban HaMedina, when all the Jews were sent into Golus, when the Babylonian army has conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Jews lost the kibush, the whole kibush was undone. The whole Kedusha rested on the kibush, and then the kibush was undone. We lost Eretz Yisrael. So the accepted opinion is that the Kedusha Rishayna that was created by Yeshua ben Nun was Batla. So during the 70 years of Golus Babel, there was no Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kedusha.
But what about when the 10 tribes were taken over? That's also, wouldn't that also lead to, Batla?
That was a partial Churban. So the Gemara says the last years of the Bais Rishon, when the 10 tribes were sent into Golus, so the Gemara says the laws of Yovel no longer apply. Because in order to observe Yovel, the 50th year has a din of Yovel, you have to have a krosim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. That's the pasuk on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. So the pasuk reads there, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. A krosim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. The Liberty Bell was paid for by the Jews of Pennsylvania. And they liked that pasuk. It was made in France and it was sent over to America, and on the boat it cracked. That's always a big crack. And then the 13 colonies decided to adopt it as a symbol of freedom for the whole United States at that time. So they liked that pasuk. The Jews in Pennsylvania liked that pasuk. They should proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. Who are the inhabitants? So the Gemara says, "Bizman should call Yoshveho Aleho." After the sum of the Shvatim already went into Golos, so the laws of Yovel ceased to be observed. And then there's a question, when you know in advance that the Shemitah, every seventh year is a Shemitah, after seven Shemitahs you have Yovel, what if you know in advance that there isn't going to be any Yovel? So maybe the whole observance of Shemitah is only midirabbanan. So that's a big machlekes hatanoim in the beginning of Parshas Behar and the Torah's Kohanim. We assume la'alocha like that. If you know in advance that you're not going to have Yovel, then the Shemitah is only midirabbanan. You don't have Shemitah in the Torah. That's why most assume today that Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanah, because you don't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho. The majority of the world Jewish population is not yet located in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they keep on writing in the newspapers, that another couple of years, Shemitah will become Deraisa, and there will no longer be any Heta Mechira, because the whole Heta Mechira for the Shnas HaShemitah rests on the assumption that Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanah. So the Gemara says in Gittin, whenever the whole din of the Mitzvah Sadvoy is only the Rabbanah, if the area belongs to a non-Jew, you sell it to a non-Jew so that you don't have to observe the deal. So that's a question whether the Heta Mechira is valid at all. And it's a question whether this is true. When you're going to have 51% of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, will that be considered Kol Yoshveho Aleho? Because the Gemara seems to say it's only called Kol Yoshveho Aleho when you have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, each Shevet being identified. Shevet Reuven is living where they belong, Shevet Shimon where they belong, Shevet Yehuda there. That we don't know today. No one knows what Shevet they belong to. Only the Kohanim and the Levim know that they belong to Shevet Levi. Everybody else doesn't know. Rabbi Chalap knows that he's from Shevet Yehuda. The Chalaps are traditionally assumed to be descendants from the Malchus Beis David. So he knows that he's from Shevet Yehuda. B'nai Yisoscha was a Chassidish Rebbe, so his Rebbe told him that he's from Shevet Yisoscha. That's why he called the Sefer B'nai Yisoscha. His Chassidish Rebbe told him that he's from Shevet. So everybody else does know what Shevet they belong to. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that even if you have 51% of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, it still won't be considered L'chol Yashvera. It still won't have to all its inhabitants. So the Gemara assumes Halacha L'maisa, there was a dispute in the days of the Tanaim. The accepted Halacha is that at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the whole Churban HaMedina, because the whole Kibush was undone, the whole Kedusha Sarts rested on the fact that there was Kibush, Kibush Mechiluk. Everything was undone at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon by the Babylonian army, so the whole Kedusha Sarts was cancelled. Then when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash and they endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha the second time around, that's called the Kedusha Shniya. So that was not based on Kibush Sarts. There was no Jewish government till the days of the Hashmonaim. They went several centuries. So you had the Chashmonaim. So how was Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh if there was no Kibush Mechiluk? So the Rambam explains based on a different din, based on a different pasuk, that they didn't need Kibush Mechiluk the second time. So that's a question. Since the Kedusha Sa'aretz the second time around, the Kedusha Shniya created in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, wasn't based on Kibush Mechiluk, so maybe after the Churban HaMedina in the year 70 when the Romans took over everything, maybe the Kedusha should not disappear. Maybe it shouldn't vanish into thin air. So that's how we paskin, most Rishonim and paskin halacha l'maisa like that, that the Kedusha Shniya of Eretz Yisrael was loybot. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTruma, that's one of the Balei HaTosfos. Sefer HaTruma, it reads like a kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Just have brief psokim. And every so often, Tosfos quotes Chiddush when this Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTruma. He was one of the Talmidim of the Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Rabbeinu Baruch is of the opinion that Sefer HaTruma, the Kedusha Shniya, was also batla. That there's no obligation at all today to observe Shemitah, Yovel, nothing. There's no Kedusha Sa'aretz. So we don't accept his opinion. The accepted view in Shulchan Aruch is that the Kedusha Shniya of Eretz Yisrael is still there. But now there's an independent question. These are not interconnected necessarily. What about Kedusha HaMikdash? Should we assume that the Kedusha HaMikdash was batla or the Kedusha HaMikdash was kitchel osilav? So this is a big dispute. So the Rambam writes in Perek Vav in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, a famous passage in the Rambam, that the Kedusha HaMikdash has nothing to do with Kibush in Chiluk. So just like the Kedusha Shniya of Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with Kibush B'Chiluk. And therefore, just because the Kibush was undone, the Kedusha didn't disappear. So the same thing is regarding Kedusha Beis HaMikdash. The Makam HaMikdash retained its Kedusha from the days that Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon. It was never batla. Kedusha Rishona that was created by Shlomo HaMelech was never batla.
So in that case, how could, during the second Beit HaMikdash, how could the rabbis not consecrate the Ezrat Nashim, if it already had the Kedusha, then how could the woman say it?
No, it had Kedusha's Harabayis. The area that they designated, I guess, in the Bais Rishon also, that area was never Niskadish B'Kedusha Zazor.
Oh,
that area always had.
Yeah.
It never had. We know Bais Sheni is explicit in the Mishnah. Bais Rishon, we don't have any records at all. But apparently, we'll soon talk about it. What was in Bais Sheni? So the Rambam's opinion is clear. The Rambam's view is that Kedusha Samigdash was never Batlam. It's unlike Kedusha Zazor. It's Kedusha Samigdash from day number one. Was retained throughout. The Ravid disagrees with that Rambam, and he writes that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that this Beis HaMikdash would not last forever. He knew that it was Osid Lehechorev. How did he know it was Osid Lehechorev? They were told B'Nevu at the occasion of the Meraglim, at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. In Chumash, this is not explicit, but if you look in Sefer Yecheskel and in Tehillim, it is explicit. And then if you look in the commentary of the Netziv on Chumash, he shows you where it says it in Chumash. That Moshe Rabbeinu was told on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, when the Jews will enter Eretz Yisrael and they'll build a Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And the tradition has it that the Chet HaMeraglim occurred, they came back on Tisha B'Av, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. They were told at that time that this day, Tisha B'Av, is going to be the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Was there a nebula also that the second Beit HaMikdash came destroyed? Did they also know that there was a future?
Right. So the Ravid writes like this. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew in advance that it's not going to be lasting forever. He knew it was going to be destroyed. So when he built it, he only was Mekadoshit Lizman, for the time that's going to last. Then he says, Yadeo Haya Ezra. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he already knew from a previous Nevua that his second Beis HaMikdash was not going to last. Where was that told to him? So the Gemara in the first Perek in Yuma understands a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Im Chaymahi, there are two psukim in Shir HaShirim, one after the other. Im Chaymahi Nivna Leha Tiras Kesef, Im Delasi Natsu Aleha Uachores. So what are the psukim referring to? So the Gemara interprets, it's an additional level of interpretation. It's not the simple pshat. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that runs as follows. After the 70 years of Golas Bavel, when the Jews will return to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, what's the story going to be? So, if everybody will come back, all the masses will come back, Ruba the Ruba of the Jews will come back, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be Nivna Lehatir Eskesef. It will be like a metal structure that Ein HaRekev Sholit Bo. Metal doesn't rot. So it means the second Beis HaMikdash will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And Rekev will not set in, and the Jewish people, they will be prophets. There will be prophecy. In Delasi, if we have a Shvacha Aliyah, hardly anybody will show, won't be Yaluk HaChayma. How does it, in Delasi, not so Alalu Achores, that the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow. Wood can rot, a Rekev Sholet Bo. So it has two connotations. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will rot away. It'll be destroyed. It'll lend itself to destruction. And number two, the Jewish people will rot away. There won't be any prophecy. So what happened after the 7 years of Golas Babel? Hardly anybody showed up. There was mamash nothing, way less than 50%. Hardly, psukim say, 47,000 Jews came back. Millions of Jews remained behind. No one wanted to come back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the Jewish people. So the second pasuk in Shir HaShirim was fulfilled, that not so alalu acharis harekev shalabo. So yedeo haya Ezra, the Ravid writes that when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he knew from day number one that there was hardly anybody showed up. Yedeo haya Ezra that it was osid lehechorev, and from that time on taka there were no more neviim. The only three neviim, the Gemara points out, b'chagas charei malach gimel neviim olu imoyim ibovel, because in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a navi. That's the halach. It says l'shich nesidrushu uvas hashama in Parshas Re'eh. So the Sifrei comments on the word tidrushu drosh al pi navi. You have to have a navi supervise the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Even if we were today, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer lived in the middle of the 1800s, the late 1800s. He was a student of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. So he had this idea that we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash now, and he thought that he solved all the problems. So the Rabbanim in his generation sent him letters. He solved all the problems, all the halachic problems, except for what? You have to have a Navi. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without a Navi. How are you going to make a Navi? On Oris Kauza? give an honorary degree. An honorary degree of a Navi. We don't have such a graduate school for Navim. They used to have B'nai HaNavim in the days of the Tanakh. They had schools to prepare people to become Navim. We don't have a Navi today. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without a Navi. So the Ravid is of the opinion that the Kedushas HaMikdash B'zman HaZeh is Botlo. The Ramban also is of that opinion, but a different angle. The Ravid says the Kedushas HaMikdash was Botlo because when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he only had in mind to be Mekadesh it for the 410 years of the Beis Rishon. And when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, Yodeya Hoya Ezra Shosid Lehechorev, so it was only Mekadesh it for those few centuries that it was going to last. The Ramban in Shavuos gives a different explanation. He comes to the same conclusion, but he gives a different explanation from a different angle. He quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, which the Gemara speaks about, the Masechus Avodah Zarah. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, "Abo b'pritzim mechilaluhu." When the goyim come in and they use the Beis Hamikdash for Avodah Zarah purposes or for secular purposes, so that cancels the Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash. So the Ramban doesn't say like the Ravid that Shlomo HaMelech only was Mekadosh et Lizman and Ezra was only Mekadosh the Beis Sheni. The Ramban said there is no such thing. You Mekadosh, it's Kaddish. You can't limit, Kedusha is not going to be Poka Bichdi. Can't vanish into thin air by itself. But when the Goyim came and they defiled the Makam HaMikdash, so that canceled the Kedusha. So bottom line, the Ramban and the Ravid write the same thing. That there's no Kedusha on the Harabai, there's no Kedusha today. The puzzling line is the concluding line in the Ravid there in Perek Vav because Beis Abchira. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Kedushas HaMikdash is still retained, and if a Tomei will enter the Azara, he'll be Chayiv Kares. A Tomei is not allowed to enter the Azara. He'll be Chayiv Kares. So the Ravid writes, there won't be any Chayiv Kares. The burden of proof is on the Rambam. I think the Rambam is not right. It was Lokit Shal Asalav, there won't be any Kares. Why does he write there's no Kares? You should have written it's permissible for a Tomei to enter into the Beis HaMikdash today. If there's no Kedusha, it's Mutar. So that's questionable. For some understand, that's what the Ravid meant. It's permissible. Others say no, that the Ravid agrees that a Tomei is not permitted to enter. Min HaTorah is just that he argues that there's no Kares, and they give a whole explanation why. Some say, according to the Ravid, he probably meant that it's an Issa de Rabbanon, not an Issa Min HaTorah. So we're not sure exactly what the Ravid meant to say here. The Ravid meant to say, it's permissible had the gomer for a tummy to enter b'zman hazeh, or it's permissible min haTorah, it's only forbidden mid rabbanon for a tummy to enter, or it's forbidden min haTorah to enter, just that there's no kares. It's not exactly clear. In the Meiri, Meiri lived in the same area where the Ravid lived, in Provence. Provence is a section in Europe in between France and Spain. They were always fighting. They always had wars. Which country should be the Balabatim over Provence. So they had Rishonim who lived in Provence, they had a whole different tradition of how to interpret Gemara. So the Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi, the author of the Sefer Hamor, and the Ravid learned by Chavrusa, they learned by the Ravid Balho Eshkol, that was the Rebbe. The Ravid married the daughter of the Ravid. The famous Ravid who wrote the Hasogas on the Rambam was the son-in-law of the Ravid who wrote the Sefer HaEshkol. And then you had later years, you had the Meiri lived there. They had their own style of learning. So the Meiri records in his commentary on Masechus Shavuos, he records that he heard, maybe he heard wrong, maybe it's not correct, he heard, Shamati, that in Eretz Yisrael, how did he hear from Eretz Yisrael? That's what he heard, that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael go to daven on the Makam HaMikdash. We don't go on the Makam HaMikdash, we daven by the Kosel HaMaravi. Kosel HaMaravi is the Kosel of the Har HaBayis, so we're standing outside of the Har HaBayis. And there's a big sign there that says that the Rabbanut warns everyone, and Jews are not allowed to enter into the Har HaBayis because we're all Tomei. So the Meiri writes that he heard, based on the Ravid's opinion, that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael go on the Makam HaMikdash because they assume that the whole Kedusha was Batla. So that's questionable whether that's really what the Ravid says. Questionable whether the Shmuah, whether what the Meiri wrote, is it correct? And maybe it is correct, but the Balabatim did it. Maybe Yishalaika did. Maybe they didn't consult their rabbis. So it's a question whether the Makam HaMikdash retained the Kedusha or not. How do we pass an halacha l'maisa? So the Mishnah Brura writes, and Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sforim on Zvachim, and he writes in the Mishnah Brura, that we usually follow the Rambam when it comes to Inyonim of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Rambam is the only one who wrote all the Dinim of the Beis HaMikdash. The other Rishonim just wrote on Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kasher, Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha. The Rambam wrote on everything. So he says we have to be choshish, at least choshish by the Rambam's opinion, that maybe there is kedusha on the Har HaBayis. So tamei is not permitted to enter. Yeah. So the question is, which tamei is not permitted to enter? One who has a tumah hayotza ol migufo is not allowed to enter. So let's say a man is a balkeri, a married person has tashmish with his wife. So the man becomes a balkeri. A man goes to mikveh, so he's no longer a balkeri. Is he a metzora? He doesn't think he's a metzora. Tumas tzaras doesn't happen by itself. You have to have a kohen declare you as a metzora. So even if a person does have a neged tzaras, we haven't had any kohen declare us as a metzora. So no one is a metzora today. He's not a yoledis. He didn't have a baby. So he's not a nida. He's not a zava. He's a man. So what is he, a zav? If he's a zav, he would have known. Zav is ziva, is a sickness. He would have gone to the doctor if he's a zav. He's not a zav. He's just a balkeri. So let him go to the mikveh. Let him go to the mikveh, he'll be tohar. Will he need Harav Shemesh? Strictly speaking, you don't need Harav Shemesh. It's full yom is permitted even with the Rabbanah to enter into the beginning section of the Har HaBayis. A full yom is not permitted to enter into the Ezras Noshim. But he's not going to get that far because we're all Tamei Mesim is Manazeh. So strictly speaking, Min HaTorah Tamei Mesim is permitted to go in the whole Har HaBayis. So Tamei Mesim is not a Tumah Yotzah L'Migufoy. It was mekabel tuma from the outside. He came in contact with the mace. So tamei mace is only prohibited men ator to enter into the azara. With the rabbanon, they prohibited a tamei mace from entering past the chil. So the whole discussion that we have is, so today everybody's a tamei mace because we don't have paraduma water. So we can't enter, with the rabbanon, we can't enter past the first couple of, we consider this as a possibility. To say like the Rambam, that kitcha losi love and the makam amigdush retains its kedusha, so we're not allowed, whoever is tummy is not allowed to go. Not allowed to go where? So if a man will go to mikveh, so he will no longer be balkeri. And even though he's a tful yom, so he's allowed to go into the first few amas of the Har HaBayis, he can't go past the chil because he's a tummy mace. So how come we never heard yet? So the question is, how big is the Har HaBayis? So the Har HaBayis is a gigantic area. The Mishnais and Midas record that the Har HaBayis was Nizkadesh 500 Amas by 500 Amas, approximately a square area. Har HaBayis now is much bigger, twice as big as that. Who made it bigger? Who got involved here? So it's assumed historically that this was Hordas. He was the king at the end of the period of the second Beis HaMikdosh, and he made the Har HaBayis much bigger. Were they mekadesh the additional area? You can be moisif al Har HaBayis. You can, if you want to, the Mishnayos have rules and regulations how to be moisif and the Kedushas Har HaBayis. We assume that during the period of Baisheni, they were never mekadesh additional areas. They left everything the way it was because the Gemara in Shavuos has a discussion. What is the procedure? What is the correct protocol to be mekadesh Har HaBayis or to be moisif al Har HaBayis? Or to be Mekadosh Yerushalayim, or if they have Yerushalayim, you might be Moisif on Yerushalayim. What's the procedure you have to go through? So part of the procedure requires you have the Urim Metumim. You have to consult the Kohen Gadol, where's the Urim Metumim? You have to consult the Urim Metumim and get the approval. That's the highest level of prophecy, is the Urim Metumim. You have to consult the Urim Metumim, get the approval. So the Psukim say in Tanakh that during the period of the Baisheni, the Urim Metumim didn't function. It didn't answer. So if it didn't function, so you can't be moisif, you can't add anything additional. You can't add any additional area onto the Azor, onto the Har HaBayis, onto Yerushalayim. So they left everything the way it was. Al pi halacha, they left it the way it was. So one has to figure out where exactly, which part of the Azor, which part of what we call now Har HaBayis, how much of that is really Har HaBayis, and where are the first couple amis in the Har HaBayis before the chil, that a Tamei Mace is permitted to go. As long as he goes to mikveh, he won't have the Tumas Balkeri, but he still has the Tumas Mace. Where is that? Where is he allowed to go? So some made a suggestion that this three-part division of the Har HaBayis, up until the Chil, then from the Chil to the Ezras Noshim, and then the inner part, the Ezras Noshim, maybe this distinction is only Bizmancha, Beis HaMikdosh, Hoya Kayam, you have a Beis HaMikdosh, so they divided the Har HaBayis into three sections. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, true, you say Kitcha Losi Lova, according to the Rambam, the Kedusha remains, but maybe this division only makes sense Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash Kayim. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you treat the whole Har HaBayis as one unit, and the Tmei Meisim are allowed to go all the way in until the Azor. This was a suggestion that's based on a tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz lived in the 1500s, and he's only worried about Tmeim going into the Azara. He's trying to figure out where is the Azara, that the Tmeim shouldn't go into the Azara. Why isn't he worried about the Tmeim going into the Minachil Belefnim? So that's what the suggestion was made. He probably was of the opinion that the three-part division of the Harbayis only exists Kol Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim. After the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, you don't have these Chumras from the Rabbam. The recent Poskim have ignored this Radvaz. They think that he's not right. They think that the Rambam sounds like he says explicitly, whatever the dinim were about Tmeim, Bizman HaMikdash, everything remains the same. And it sounds like the Rambam is saying even the divisions midirabbanon, even the chumras that were added on midirabbanon also still apply bizman hazeh. So if one should assume like that, so it's not just sufficient to figure out where was the Azara. You have to figure out where was the Harabai, where is the Harabayis, where are the first couple Amas, where are the first five Amas in the Harabayis that you're allowed to go. If a man goes to mikveh, where are the first couple Amas in the Harabayis before you get to the chil, that a Tomei Meis is permitted to go, even though he's a Tvul Yom of the Balkeri. So how do you figure that out? How do you figure out exactly where was the Harabais? The Harabais is twice as big as it's supposed to be. How do you figure out what was added on by Hordas? So we have a historical tradition that the Dome of the Rock is the correct location of the Evan Shasiya. The Mishnah says in Yuma there was a gigantic Evan Shasiya. They have photographs of it. The Jewish people are not allowed to enter into the Dome of the Rock, al pi halacha, and the Arabs wouldn't let them go in either. So they had the Goyish photographer enter into the Dome of the Rock. He took a fantastic picture, if you've ever seen it. This rock, this Evan Shasiya, is gigantic. It's gigantic, not a little stone. A gigantic rock, the size of this room. A gigantic thing. A couple of years ago, they had in the newspapers that water was flowing from under the rock. It's a nevuah in Treyosa, that the water's going to flow, and the Arabs didn't know how to stop the water from flowing, didn't know what was going on there. Some of the nevuahs were being fulfilled, we don't know exactly what was happening then. So there is a historical tradition among the Jews and among the Arabs also, that the Dome of the Rock, I think that's the golden dome, the one to the right, Al-Aqsa is the silver, I think.
Yeah.
And this one is the golden dome. So the Golden Dome was built on top of the Evan Shasiya, where they found it. So we assume that is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. So you have to calculate. We're not sure exactly how much of this gigantic rock was in the... It's too big for the... It's very big. So how much of it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Maybe part of it was out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But it has to be somewhere over there. We don't know exactly how long an Amma is. You have different opinions. How long is an Amma? So based on all the possibilities, how big is an Amma? Where exactly was the Kodesh HaKadoshim with respect to this rock, the Evan Shasiya? You have to calculate. So you have the Mishnayos and you have Josephus. Everything corresponds. You have to figure out where was the Azara and where was the Harabais and where was the Ezra Snoshim and so on. So strictly speaking, should be permissible for a man who is Tamei to go to Mikveh, who removed the Tumas Balkeri, and he's still a Tvul Yom, so he's not allowed to go into the Ezra Snoshim, but he's a Tamei Meis anyway, so he can't go past the Chil, so he should be allowed to go there. So this is a question, how come the Jews never went, in recent centuries, how come the Jews never went on to the Harabayis? You can go to Mikveh, you can go to Davin, to part of the Harabayis. How come they never went? So a suggestion was made by one of the Sfardish Gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, I think in the 1600s. The name of his sefer is Chazoy Nochum. Not to be confused, there was a Chazoy Nochum who lived now, who was killed by the Nazis. He was a Chazoy Nochum, I think, was the brother of the Chibina Rav from Galicia. That's a different Chazoy Nochum. But this Chazoy Nochum is a commentary on Mishnayos, written by a Sfardish Rav who lived in Tveri, I think, in the 1600s, if I'm not mistaken. So he poses this question, how come we have the ability to, they'll let us. How come the Jews don't go to Mikveh to go into Daven on the Mokum and the Harabais where it's permissible? So he comes up, it's a puzzle. How come they never did it? Today the Arabs don't want you to go, but years ago the Arabs weren't in control there. So why don't people go? So he comes up with an einfall. In the days of the Tanoim, they had an institution of Am Ha'aretz in Chavir. the Gemara says that they checked all over Eretz Yisrael. They saw that the Ami Haaretz were not so careful about Hafrashas Maisris. Everybody was careful about Hafrashas Truma, but not everybody was too careful about Hafrashas Maisris. So they made a Takana with the Rabbanon that if you buy Peiris Eretz Yisrael from an Am Haaretz, one who's not a Chava, Chava is a religious Jew, an Orthodox observant Jew. If you buy from Am Haaretz, even if he swears on a stack of Bibles that he was Mafresh Truma and Maisris, he can't take his word for it. Unless on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they're afraid to tell a lie. Amos Shabbos Olav. Am Haaretz is afraid to tell a lie on Shabbos. The Talmid HaChachamim know that it's the same Avera to tell a lie Shabbos on the weekdays. Am Haaretz think that it's a bigger Avera to tell a lie on Shabbos. So if they tell me on Shabbos that it's Gemaisa, so you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Okay. But otherwise, it's a Takonim de Rabban. So what's the definition of Am Haaretz? What's the definition of a Chover? Chover is an observant person, a religious person. So the Gemara has different suggestions in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says they used to have a chumra. You're not allowed to be bench mezumen with an Am Haaretz. You have to have dapka three chaverim. So the Gemara says we no longer observe that din. The Gemara says at a certain point in history they abolished that psak. We are mezamen with an Am Haaretz. Okay. So what's the definition of Am Haaretz? So the Gemara says different tanoim have different views, different opinions. So one opinion is, that's what this Chazon Nochem is angling for. He's trying to understand how come no one goes to mikveh and goes on the harbai. So he suggests one Tana is of the opinion, a person who's not, one Tana says, if he doesn't wear talis and tefillin, he's an Amor. One Tana says he doesn't send his children to yeshiva, he's an Amor. One Tana says he doesn't recite kriyashma every day. Different opinion. One Tana says he's not medakta kanshumas amaisus. That's what the main thing is all about. One Tana says, Amoritz is one who's not careful about Tumah V'Tara. One who's not careful about Tumah V'Tara is Dino Kam Haaretz. Chazon Nochem says, the Bizman is that no one is careful about Tumah V'Tara. But that's a little humorous. No one is careful about... He says, today everybody has a Dino Kam Haaretz because no one is careful about Tumah V'Tara. But he admits himself that's a little humorous. What do you mean we're not careful? We're not eating any truma because we're all Tamei Mesim anyway. We're not entering the Beis HaMikdosh. We're not makariv karbonis. We're not eating karbonis. So the whole issue of Tumah V'Tara is irrelevant today. That's why we're not careful. That's why people, the men and the women, no one goes to the mikveh today because the whole issue of going to mikveh is irrelevant. So he says, no. When the Gemara says one is not careful about Tumah V'Tara is Dina Kam Haaretz, it's not only if he's in violation of the laws that he's obligated to observe. One is not careful even if he's not in violation of anything. So he says, today everybody has a din of Am Haaretz because none of us are careful about Tumah V'Tara. So therefore, what does that lead you? Everybody has a din of Am Haaretz. So the Gemara says, if a chaver touches an Am Haaretz, so he's mekabel Tumah from him. One of the chumras that they introduce regarding Am Haaretz, the main chumra is that if you buy demai from him, if you buy peres, you have to be mafresh chumas and maisus, and even if he swears that it's gemaisit, you can't trust him, you can't take his word for it. Another chumra of Am Haaretz is that he's metame de chaver. We have to treat the Am Haaretz as if he's a zav. So the Chazon Nochem came up with this chiddush that since today no one is careful about Tumah V'Tara, so we treat everybody as if they are an Am Haaretz. And Am Haaretz is dina kizav. So everybody's a zav. So if you're a zav, so you're not allowed to enter the whole harbais. But a zav can go to be toivel to become tahor. That's if a person is a chover and he became a zav, so he'll go to mikveh, so he will no longer be a zav. But if he's going to be an amaretz after he goes to the mikveh also, so he remains an amaretz. So even after he goes to the mikveh, he's still an amaretz dina kizav. So a zav is not allowed to enter the harbais.
So why can't the woman do that?
No, to women also. We treat a woman who, there's a Isha Chavera and there's an Isha Am Haaretz also. The Isha is not trusted on Trumas and Maisis either, unless she's an Isha Chavera. She's married to Eshes Chavik Chava. She's married to a Chava, she has the din like a Chava. But if the woman's an Isha Am Haaretz, so we have the same din, you treat her as if she were a Zava as well. So we treat everybody as if they're Zav and a Zava. The recent Paskim find that very difficult to believe. Because it never says anywhere in Mishnayis that they didn't allow an Am Haaretz to enter the Harbayis. There is no such thing. They never said the Am Haaretz is Izav Lagabi himself. They said the Chaverim have to treat the Am Haaretz as if the Am Haaretz were a Zav. So if the Chaver touches an Am Haaretz, he has to go to the mikveh. If the Am Haaretz touched his clothing, touches the clothing of the Chaver has to be titled his clothing in a mikveh. But you never have a din that says we don't permit our Moritz to enter the Beis HaMikdash because he's dinik kezav. It doesn't say that anywhere. So the whole thing is a pella. So that's why in recent years, Rabbi Gorin, after the Six-Day War, before the Six-Day War, for many years they didn't allow the Jews. After 1948, before 1948, the Jews could always go into the, they could do whatever they wanted. After 1948, then they divided Eretz Yisrael, so the Arabs had that part, so they didn't let any Jews go anywhere near. They couldn't go to the Kosel Maravi either. After the Six-Day War, Rabbi Gorin was not the chief rabbi then, he was the chief chaplain in the army. So he blew shofar and get tumult, and then he said, based on the halacha, it should be permissible if a man goes to mikveh. If a woman wants to go visit the harabai, so she has to make sure that she's not a nida. If the woman is a nida, so she, and the woman has to count shivinikim, and then be told about a mikveh. At Bizman Azeh, we have a chumrah that appears in the Gemara that you treat every woman as a suffix nida, suffix zava. That's a takonas rebbe. Rabbi Yudah Nasa made a takona that all the women today are treated as a towa, as if they made a mistake, as if they don't remember whether they're nida or a zava. So still, they go to mikveh, so what's the problem? So there is an opinion from the Gaonim, from the days of the Gaonim. Rashi and the Ramban quote this. The Gaonim were of the opinion that a zava requires tefillah in a mayon. It's not enough tefillah in a mikveh. Most of the mikvahs that we have for the married women are a mikveh. It's rainwater that collects and sits there in a location. Stagnant, has to be stagnant. Mikveh. Cover the kaima, the water is stagnant as opposed to flowing water. Zerchlin is puzzle. So most Rishonim assume that a woman who's a zava is toivel in a mikveh, you don't need a mayon. And the Goyim are of the opinion that a tefillah of a zava requires mayon. Rashi and the Ramban say that it's not correct. So one of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch says, no, the Goyim only meant it with respect to Tum V'Tara. A woman who's a zava has two dinim. One din she's Asura Labayla, and another din, she's considered like an avatum, a tmeya. So that the women today are tovel and a mikveh, that's l'choladez. They don't need a mayon. To be muteris l'bayli, you don't need tefillah and a mayon. A mayon means a flowing, where the source of the water is from under the ground, and the water is flowing now. That's called a mayon, a fountain. So some commentaries on the tour in Hilchas Nida say that when the Goinim came up with this idea that a zava requires mayim chayim, that's a mayon, is mayim chayim. That's only with respect to tum v'tar. With respect to heter l'baila, they don't need it. So if it's true that the goyim distinguish and with respect to tum v'tar, the women will need mayon. So even a married woman who went to mikveh won't be able to go in the harbais either. She'll have to go to be tovel in a mayon to remove the tumah of a zovah. So this is the big debate in our generation. So the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael insisted that no one should go on the Har HaBayis because they're afraid that you're only going to allow Orthodox people to go who went to mikveh, and the women are going to know that they have to count Shivin Akim. What do you do, conservative and reformed Jews? They want to go also on the Har HaBayis. So they're not going to go to mikveh. They don't go to mikveh. So you'll cause more people to go betumah onto the Har HaBayis than otherwise. So that's the question in Eretz Yisrael. Is it right that anybody goes on the Har HaBayis? Yeah. Those who do go already into the Har HaBayis, so they have to be careful. The Mishnayos have, there's a special din of umigdoshi tira'u. You have to have mora hamigdosh. Mora hamigdosh means covered square. Like there's a mitzvah of kibbut aviyem and a mitzvah of mora aviyem. Two different mitzvahs in the minyan mitzvahs. Ishim aviyaviv tiro is an addition to kabedas avich v'esimecha. So mora means covered square. A very, very serious form of covered. More than plain old covered. So in the Beis HaMikdash is a din of mora HaMikdash. You have to show extreme covered. In a Beis HaKnesses, in a shul. So shul is only a mikdash miyat. So since it's only a mikdash miyat, so there is no din of mora Beis HaKnesses. It's a din of vod Beis HaKnesses. But in the Beis HaMikdash proper, that's the real Beis HaMikdash, so there is a din of mora HaMikdash. So there are different aspects. So the Mishnah says on the Har HaBayis, no one is allowed to enter with shoes on. Not allowed to wear shoes when you go into the Har HaBayis. So they have soldiers, Israeli soldiers, who are stationed on the Har HaBayis. They have no choice. They have to maintain peace over there. So they told those soldiers who are religious, they have to stand on the Har HaBayis, they told them to wear sneakers. Because the din is on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur and on Avel HaShiva. One is not permitted to have nilas hasani, not allowed to wear shoes, it's only leather shoes. Sneakers are mutar. So that's why the religious soldiers who were stationed on our bias are told that they shouldn't go with leather shoes, they should wear sneakers or go barefoot. Okay, let them not wear shoes at all. But sometimes they're going to have to run quickly. They have to do something. So it's not too smart not to wear sneakers either. So they told them that they should wear sneakers. What else? The Mishnah says, out of covered harabais, you're not allowed to go. You're not permitted to go with your money. If your wallet is in your pocket, so that's permissible. But if you're carrying a pocketbook, a woman carries a pocketbook and it's exposed, and the pocketbook is for the purpose of carrying money. They carry all kinds of junk there in addition to money, but they carry money there also. The pocketbook is for holding money. So it says you're not allowed to go with an exposed money chagora. If a person is going to go with a money belt, the Gemara says you're not permitted to go on the harabais, but apun dosoi. The Rashi translates apun dosoi means a hollow gartle where the person puts his money, and this is an exposed position. If he has the wallet in his pocket, it's hidden. But if it's an exposed position, not allowed to. So let's say women will want to go into the harabais, and the woman knows that she's tahora, so she'll have to be careful not to take a pocketbook. What else? One of the dinim of Kvod Beis HaKnesses is that you're not permitted to speak Sicha B'Telo in a Beis HaKnesses. They quote the Behetiv quotes on Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Beis HaKnesses that the practice of the Arizal was, Arizal lived in Tzfat, he davened the Beis HaKnesses Arizal. So his practice would be he never held a drasha in Shul because he was afraid he may crack a joke in the middle of the drasha, and that's a violation of Sicha B'Telo. You're not allowed to talk Sicha B'Telo. So it says in the Rambam, when one is visiting the Harabayas, there's a din of Mora HaMikdash, there's a stronger din of Mora HaMikdash in the Azara, and in the Harabayas there's a little less. Then there's a din of Mora HaMikdash, if you live around Yerushalayim, you have to be a little bit more careful about Mora HaMikdash, even though you're not on the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the din of Mora HaMikdash is that a person should not talk Sicha B'Teila, and the Harabayas shouldn't keep it around. So let's say you have a group of tourists that are going, they all went to Mikva, let's say they're going to go on Harabayas, and then the tour guide is going to start cracking jokes or something. So that's a violation. You go to the Harabayas to daven, or to visit Chatzos Beis Hashem, to visit the location because of the Kedusha. But just to go to tour, that's not permissible. I remember once there were two speakers who were talking about the possibility of visiting the Harabayas. So one speaker was giving a whole presentation. He didn't give a half an hour, like I gave 5-10 minutes. So the next speaker was an Israeli. The first speaker was an American. It was one of the American yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. The second speaker was a big Talmid Chacham, and he was an Israeli. So he was all upset about the fact that the first speaker was even entertaining the Habamina, visiting the Habai. So they started to scream, Misachakim im Karet, he was screaming. They're playing around, they're playing games with an Issa Karis. So that's a mistake. The Issa Karis is only if you enter onto the Azara. That's Beferish. If a Tommy enters into the Harabais, it's an Abeira. Sometimes it's forbidden, but it's not Karis. This was an expression that was used. The Abnezer was a Chassidish Rebbe, the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, who died around 100 years ago. Around 1910 or so, 1915. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in the end of Chelek Yeredeya. The Gemara has a discussion in the beginning of Yevamos and in the middle of Zvachim. What if a Tomei doesn't enter into the Azara? Tomei only sticks his hands into the Azara. Is he in violation of an Isar or not? That's called Bia B'miktsas. He walks in partially. If he goes Rosh HaVerubo into the Azara, then Rosh HaVerubo, he's in the Azara. Then he violated the Isar. Lo yovel tocha machne. He gets Malkus. What if he only sticks part of his body into the Azara? So that's a machlekes. That's called Bia B'miktsas. Whether Bia B'miktsas Shmo Bia or Lav Shmo Bia. The Mitzora has no choice. If you study Chumash, the Mitzora has no choice. The Mitzora is Tomei until he's cured. After he's cured, he goes to the Mikveh. Then he has Harav Shemesh. He waits till Tzeisa Kachavim, following the day that he goes to Mikveh, and then he has to bring the Karbonis on Mitzorah. So the din requires that when you bring the Asham Mitzorah, the Osham, You have to be zorek part of the dam al boyin yoda haymanis, al boyin ragla haymanis, al tinuch ozna haymanis. So if you can't, the kohen can't take the dam out of the azara. If he takes the dam out of the azara, nifsal biyotze. So the mitzora has to stand in the azara. If he stands in the azara, he's over an isa karis. He's a mechusi kippurim. They weren't zorek the dam on the mizbech yet. They zorek the dam on his body. So he's still a mechusi kippurim. So the Gemara says he would stand by the Shad Nikinor, he would stand outside of the Azara, he would stick his thumbs in. They don't need both thumbs, just need the right hand. Sticks his right hand, then he sticks it in the right foot, and then he leans a little bit in, so his ear will be inside. So he does be a b'miktsas. So the Gemara has a machlek, is that a special heter? But otherwise it's takanisa, deraisa, be a b'miktsas, shmodiya. It's really a prohibition, but for the purposes of the mitzvah, you have no choice. He has to stick part of his body in. Or should I say, no, it's really mutter for everybody. Being a mixus is mutter. Menatar, there's no violation at all. So there is a common practice that's been observed for 100 years, that people leave kvitlach by the kaisel. People write all kinds of requests, and they put it on a piece of paper, and they put it in the cracks of the kaisel. So there's a question whether the thickness of the kaisel of Aravi, the whole thickness has kedushas harabayis or not. So if one should assume that the whole thickness, the whole width of the Kaisel HaMaravi has Kedusha, so then the person puts his finger in the cracks. He did a Bia B'miktsa, so he's Chayv Karis. So that's what some of the Rabbanim were saying in Europe. You're not allowed to put a Kvitl in the Kaisel HaMaravi, because Bia B'miktsa Shma Bi An Yechayv Karis. So the Avnei Nezer has a discussion of this. So he says, that statement, that there's an issue of Karis involved, maybe the De Gichuch, he says, it's absolutely hilarious. It's a joke. He says, what karis? You're talking about entering into the harabais. You're not talking about entering into the azar. There is no karis on a tomei who enters into the harabais. Karis is only if you're entering into the azara. Then Avnei Nezer says the whole thing is a mistake. He thinks that the whole topic of bia b'miktsa, shmo bia, lav shmo bia, the dispute in the Gemara only applies if a person whose tomei puts in his hand into the azara. He said, Bia B'miktsas was never a discussion as far as the Tom entering Harabais. There never was a Shaila. Then he says he thinks the whole thing is a mistake. Also, no one ever thought that the whole thickness of the Kaisel HaMaravi is Niskadish B'kdushas Harabais, only from the half in. You draw the point in the middle. So the middle point, you don't go anywhere near the middle point. Middle point, he says, if you would say that Bia B'miktsas poses a problem, you're not allowed to enter the Harabais from the beginning of the Kaisel HaMaravi, so the further down you go, so the Kaisel HaMaravi is much wider. As you go up, where we stand is a couple of flights above where the Kaisel HaMaravi began. So when a person stands right in front of the Kaisel HaMaravi, he's already standing on top of the thickness of the Kaisel HaMaravi below. So before he puts his hand into between the cracks, just to stand in front of the Kaisel HaMaravi, he's already on top of part of the Makom Harabais. So he says, the whole thing is a mistake. He says, the whole thickness of the wall is not in the Scottish. If at all, it's half and half. So you know we're near the midpoint. Even if you stick your fingers in, you know we're near the midpoint. And he makes fun of those Rabbanim who said that you have to be careful because you're playing with an Issa Rav Karev. There are historical records that in this dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash remain even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash or not, so they have historical records that there was in the Gemara. In the Gemara you have records in Midrashim. There was a period of time after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash that there was still Makrav Karbonis. How could they be Makrav Karbonis? So they would make a makeshift Mizbeach, and then they would Makrav the Korban Pesach, then they would run, because the Roman soldiers would be there. The Roman soldiers didn't permit it. So the people were Maisa Nefesh, and sometimes they would get killed by the Roman soldiers for using the Makom HaMikdash for the purpose of being Makor Kabbalah. So obviously, those Tanoim, it was in the days of the time, those Tanoim were Makor Kabbalah, Korban Pesach it was, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, they obviously were of the opinion that the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash was Kitchel Osilove, like the Rambam holds, that the Kedusha remained, and if you'll build a Mizbeach, so you'll be able to bring Karbanos. There are Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael from the Rabbanut who are encouraging that the Rabbanut should change its position. There are Rabbanim who are encouraging them that it would make more sense that they should permit people to go daven by the on the Makom HaMikdash, because if we're not going to go there, the Arabs will claim that the Jews don't care. The Jews are not interested in Makom HaMikdash. And when they're going to make negotiations, so we'll lose the whole Makom HaMikdash. That's a question. Those who do go is against the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut recommends that they should not go. Those who do go, what they do is they go to mikveh in advance, and then they say a brocha, shekirishon b'mitzos v'tzivanu al hatfilo. This is interesting. I remember there was used to be a big Talmid Chacham who lived in upstate New York. I forgot his name. He published a little sefer. He was a rabbi under the communists in Russia. And when he came to America, he was a rabbi in Syracuse, or Rochester. I forgot already where. So he once told me, and he has this in his sefer, that he wonders, when a Tommy goes to mikveh, does he really say a bracha? We only have in the Gemara that a gersh in his gayer recites a bracha when he comes out of the mikveh, shekadoshan b'mitzos v'tzivanu al hatfilah. And we have the obvious practice that a woman who's married goes to mikveh, says a bracha. He was of the impression that a Tommy who goes to mikveh for whatever purpose doesn't recite a bracha. You don't always recite a bracha when you do things. When a man divorces his wife, he doesn't say a bracha before he gives a get. A get is nishke mitzvah. So tevel and a mikveh is also not a mitzvah. So he was under the impression that it's you only say bracha by a married woman and a ger. A ger is clearly doing a mitzvah. And today, the common practice is that all those who go to mikveh in order to go to visit the harabayas, they all say a bracha ala tefillah. So this is a big discussion. Should the bracha be normally a bichas ha-mitzvah is recited oivel asiyasim in advance before you're about to do the mitzvah. So what about tefillah and a mikveh? So the different opinions. The Gemara says that the ger is not Jewish yet, so he can't say kedushan b'mitzvah sabitzibon. It's just not true. A lot of the candidates for conversion don't know that. So they practice observing the Jewish religion. So on Shabbos they say Kiddush, and they put on tefillin, and they put on a talis, and they shake a lulav, and they say the bracha, shekidushan b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. So that's against the halacha. You're not allowed to say kiddushan b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. It's just not true. If he wants to daven Shmona Esrei, that's beautiful, but he can't say l'keinu v'l'kei avoseinu, l'kei Avraham, l'kei Yitzchak, l'kei Yankiv. He's not a descendant of the Ovis. He should, if he wants to practice Shmona Esrei, he should say l'keinu v'l'kei avos Yisrael, but he can't say l'keinu v'l'kei avoseinu. And if he wants to shake a lulav, he shouldn't say a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. I remember there was a girl who went to NCSY. She was in high school, and she wanted to convert. So they kept on telling her, but her mother is not Jewish, and her parents are divorced, and the new father is also not Jewish. Both the stepfather and mother are not Jewish, so how can she convert now? She won't be able to observe kasher. She won't be able to observe Shabbos. It's too difficult. Wait till you get into college and you'll be on your own, then you'll convert. So they calmed the girl down, so she didn't convert. So then I remember once they had the Yarchi Kala. They still have now, between December 25th and January 1st. So they have 150 boys and girls come from all over the United States and Canada. And they give them shiurim every hour. Someone else gives a shiur in New Jersey. And then they have questions and answers, a learning period. So one year, the whole Yarchi Kala, the whole week of learning was dedicated to brachas, all the different brachas. And every person who spoke it was assigned a different topic. So I was assigned the topic, I should talk about women reciting Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grom. There's a woman say a bracha when she shakes a lulav. So I gave a whole shiur. So I saw this little girl sitting there. So I said, yeah, keep in mind that this idea that a woman can recite a bracha when she volunteers, this is only if the woman is Jewish. If the woman is not Jewish, everybody thought I was kidding. I was talking to this girl. If the woman is not Jewish, so she can't say a bracha, it's not true. It's not kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So the girl came over to me after I finished speaking, so she says, why can't I just leave out that part of the sentence? So I said, so what's the bracha going to be? She says, bracha to Hashem ha'ken ha'malach ha'olam al netilas lulav. So I said, you know, Hebrew, translate it into English. There's no sense. You have to have a subject and a predicate. You can't say, Baruch HaTorah, Elkein HaMelech HaOlam, Ana Tilas Lulav. You didn't say. So she starts to cry, so she says, you just stole the bracha from me. I want to convert now. I was cheating her from the bracha, so we had to calm it down. So she waited till she was in college, and then she converted. See here, so a ger, Habali, his guy, that's for sure. The ger, before he's toivel in the mikvah, for sure he can't say the bracha. He can't say Kedushanu. And so since one is not Jewish yet, so the ger for sure only recites the bracha ala tefillah after he goes to mikveh. Married women, there's a big machlekes whether the women should recite the bracha before or after. So that's why many married women have the practice that they go to the mikveh, then the table in the mikveh, they say the bracha, and then the table a second time. So if the bracha should be recited oival asiyasam, so they said the bracha before the table a second time. If the bracha by married women should be recited after they were table, so the table before. And others say that that's a joke. What do you mean? Once the tovel and the mikvah says finished already, so the second tefillah is lamala v'lamara. So that's a question over here. If one is tovel because he wants to go daven on the harabayis, wants to go visit the harabayis, the emo b'yira, so does he say a bracha or not? And when does he say the bracha? So this is a big discussion. So here are two svarim, very fascinating. One is machshava. This one is machshava. I'll give us halvoyin, and this one is all halacha al haramar. This is all one pasuk in Shir Hashem. Haramar will give us halvoyin about visiting the harabayis. This is a very lomdish sefer. Has a lot of marmikan. It's very fascinating. Has all the dinim when you're allowed to go, when you're not allowed to go. They told me that there was a group of tourists who were visiting Harabayis, and there was a single girl there. So they thought the girl was not religious. A single girl, and a 20-year-old girl, is certainly a nida. Single girls don't go to mikveh. So they were wondering, after they finished the whole tour, so they realized the girl was religious. So someone asked the girl, how can you go into the Harabayis? You told me, the men all went to mikveh. So the girl answered that she went to mikveh last night because she's getting married today. She was a cow, and she wanted to go to the Harabayis to be mispallel that the marriage should turn out well, that she should have a happy marriage. See, that's a problem. If a single girl wants to go to mikveh, so we have a tradition, we don't allow single girls to go to mikveh because they may decide to sin. We only allow married women to go to mikveh. So what if a girl wants very much to go to the Harabayis? So years ago, as Mancha Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, everybody went to mikveh, the single girls also. If she was Bas Kohen, she wants to eat truma. So she has to go to mikveh. If she wants to visit the Beis HaMikdash, of course she has to go to mikveh. But b'zman hazeh, that no one else is visiting the Beis HaMikdash, we have an old tradition, Shulchan Aruch, it's because we don't permit single girls to go to the mikveh. I remember years ago, 45 years ago, 50 years ago, the girls were starting to go to Michlala and to the seminaries in Eretz Yisrael, so they came back. So they started looking in the Svarim. So they saw in the Mate Ephraim is a sefer, a special sefer on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Mate Ephraim says that on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody goes to mikveh, even the single girls. So the single girls came to the mikveh on the east side on Erev Yom Kippur. They wanted the mikveh lady to let them use the mikveh. The mikveh lady said, she never heard of this. What do you mean? So they called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, we don't have that meaning. We don't have, the single girls don't go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. So that's a question. Does this make sense that we should allow, even those who want to go daven on the Harabayis, should we allow single girls to go to mikveh, not a kala? Would you permit a single girl to go to the mikveh in order to visit the Harabayis? Years ago they did, clearly. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash they clearly did. Would you allow it, bizmanaza? Okay. It's a cheerful topic. We're on our way to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Someday we'll all go visit the Harabayis. Tov. If anyone is interested in looking at the Svarim, you can borrow them.